Suzanne Vogel from OccupyCorporatism.com, where the alternative media gets their news. This show will expose the elite domination plan, disinfo agents, propaganda, corporate control, and the UN plan to strip the world of its freedom and the U.S. of its constitution. This is the Region 10 Report with Suzanne Vogel, bringing you the real truth behind the news.
Everybody, thanks for joining me on the Region 10 Report. This is episode number 16, so we're getting there. The Region 10 Report is broadcast on American Freedom Radio from 4 to 5 p.m. Central on stations all across the globe, as well as Prepper Podcast Network. I'm in a new category. James Smith put me in the educational podcast category, so check me out there. UCY.TV, a great internet radio site. I suggest you check them out. They've got a great list of other hosts on there. iTunes podcast download. Just type in the Region 10 Report. Spreaker, Shoutcast, Blog Talk. Basically, like I said last week, you'd have to shut off the internet if you didn't want to run into me. But that's okay, because I got some good stuff. You can listen to all of our previous episodes at radio.occupycorporatism.com or go to the AFR archives. New articles are posted daily on the website OccupyCorporatism.com. Please visit all of our sponsors to support the Region 10 Report, as well as our website. And if you'd like, you can donate to us to help us expand our website and the Region 10 Report. You can click on the yellow button on our website, OccupyCorporatism.com, that says Support Independent News, and it's all over the website. So if you want to follow us, you can sign up for our RSS feed. You can use Facebook or Twitter, and that way you can get the latest news from OccupyCorporatism.com. I am your host, Suzanne Posel, and my co-host David Posel is with me today, and I have one of the most incredible, clever, stupendous, amazing guests today. He is Vinny Eastwood from the Vinny Eastwood Show, and I am proud and honored to have him on my show, and we are going to laugh about what's going on and have a good time. Vinny, are you there?
Yeah, of course I am.
Thank you for being here.
Holy Shiite Muslim, that was one hell of a big up, you know. Oh, look at Vinny, isn't he amazing? Isn't he fantastic and stupendous? You know.
That's a payback.
Yeah, payback like Mel Gibson.
Oh, God. Don't go driving drunk and then don't start blaming the Jews.
Otherwise, then it would be more like Ransom with Mel Gibson.
Yeah, right. So, I thought I could throw some stuff out at you. Are you good on the fly?
Let me just check my underwear.
Do you have clean underwear on?
As it turns out, no, I don't. We're good. We're good.
All right. Well, I put up some articles today, and I don't know if you saw them, but one of them that I put up was there is a new SARS virus that they have engineered. It is race specific. They're claiming now that it is transferable.
Well, is it specific to horse racing or greyhound racing?
It's specific to people of Arab descent.
Oh, okay. Because if it was specific to people of NASCAR racing, then I wouldn't have too much of a problem with it, but...
You don't like country music?
I like country music. In fact, I've made a couple of country songs.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
One of them's called Monsanto.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe, you know, your wife left you, your truck broke down, your dog died.
Yeah, I don't know. I've had plenty of animals die over my time and been broke as a mofo and what have you. But anyway, speaking of SARS virus, I remember my brother one time, I think it might have been quite a few years ago when the first SARS virus came out, there's actually a brand of sarsaparilla that's called SARS, and he brought back a can of the sarsaparilla. He's just like, oh, my God. It's like, dude, how did you get that past the hazmat detectors and the airports and stuff, bro?
Don't you get molested at the airports like we do?
I don't know. I haven't been to the airport for quite a long time. Maybe if I'm feeling lonely, I might.
won't fly either. I don't like being violated, but you know, I'm just weird like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other scary thing about that whole mess with the TSA is that they're really, really actively recruiting pedophiles, I found.
Yes.
That's
yes.
the scary thing. Especially for you as a mother, you know, to taking your kids through that kind of stuff in order to be groped up by known convicted pedophiles. That'd just be like, oh, God, no. I think I'm in the other direction.
The last time I flew was like 3 years ago, and I had my son, and he was 2.5, almost 3 years old. And, you know, they made us take off the shoes and everything. And this was before I had woken up or anything like that. And I thought it was ridiculous. And then they made us put everything in a little box. And it wasn't as bad as it is now. And they made him throw out his juice and the his sippy cup. They made me pour it out. And I was like, you know, WTF, come on, it's apple juice. Are you kidding me? But then as soon as everything goes through the scanner, they hand us back our little bucket and then proceeded to scream at me because I couldn't get my son's shoes back on his feet fast enough to keep the line going. I was like, what? I practically got undressed for this. My son, I give me a break. I'm going to miss my flight. This is ridiculous.
It just shows, man, when you're dealing with psychos, enough is never enough.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah, this woman, I mean, she was, you know, I'm not, whatever. But yeah, she was like all high on the fact that she had this stupid outfit on and this little, you know, plastic badge she got from the dollar store. And she was all like, oh, I'm in charge of you. And it's like, you know, flip off, dude. I'm just trying to get to my flight. Leave me alone.
Hey, this reminds me of an interesting story. Do you know how the word cops came into existence?
I want to hear about that.
The very first professional police force in the United States was in Manhattan. Because they had an out-of-control crime system. So they decided that they would start training people how to be proper law enforcement. And NYPD, first professional police force in the United States, they were really, really poor when they started out, and they had to figure out how to get their badges made. And the cheapest material available was roofing copper. So they made their badges out of that, and then people called them coppers, which right. later was shortened to cops.
Right. The coppers are going to get you. Right, yeah. From like the 1920s. Yeah, that's incredible. Well, look at the way that they've changed. I mean, I just wrote a couple of articles about this, and I wrote extensively on the police state last year. But, you know, you go from Barney Fife to Halo, you know, the video game, right down the street. Now, I noticed last night we were watching some of the footage of the burning down of the cabin with Christopher Dorner. And I noticed that all of the LA police officers were back to their original uniforms. There were no paramilitarized police officers there. They all looked like normal cops. And I thought that was funny. Like, why didn't they put on their SWAT team gear when they were going after this guy?
I have no idea.
I think they knew they were on camera.
Yeah. Maybe we look way better. No, maybe they wanted to be recognized, you know. They can't see my face in the black uniform, Sarge. Come on, let me wear my uniform.
Smiling on CNN.
Yeah, yeah. Well, who was I talking about? Oh, somebody was telling me about this. This what was his name? Dorner? What?
Dorner.
Dorner, Dahmer and Greg. Okay. And... he was saying, Vinny, what do you think about this? And I said, well, I'm of one mind about it. Number one, you don't kill people, you know, don't kill people unless it's in self-defense and they are trying to kill you. So I completely disagree with whatever he's been doing. Secondly, I can understand what he's doing because the LAPD has killed a hell of a lot more people than he ever could. Yeah. And with zero justification. And, I mean, if that's not enough, then they shoot up a couple, they shoot up a lady's truck.
Yeah, 30 times. And her in the back and her daughter. And the truck was never registered. It was no description that he ever drove this truck. And obviously, two women in a truck don't look like a large ex-Navy intelligence, ex-LAPD cop.
Mm. Well, a friend of mine came over to stay with me for the night from Australia. He's doing a little thing in New Zealand here. And he once applied to become part of the Australian police force. And he came back with a an IQ of like 128, you know, reasonably high, pretty smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, sorry, we can't let you in because you're too smart.
They're doing that here too.
Well, yeah. And it just goes to show you, let's have a look at what happens when you give exclusively morons draconian power, a black uniform, and a gun. Well, right. they shoot up a lady's truck, don't they?
Yes. Here's one aspect that I think is absolutely hilarious. They burn down the cabin. They find a charred body. And next to the charred body, or within the vicinity, they find a wallet that has had no fire damage. And inside the wallet is a plastic driver's license that says Christopher Dorner on it. That reminds me of
9/11.
The planes go into the building. It decimates these entire buildings. Everything is in disarray, except the passport magically falls and hits less than a block away.
On top of everything.
Yeah. Apparently Saudi Arabia had been issuing flame retardant passports to its citizens, you know.
I think that whoever made that wallet, they should be a billionaire right now, because that is an industrial strength wallet. Every man in America should buy that wallet.
That's right. You can burn to death and they can still identify the body by your completely unburnt plastic ID in the super, super flame retardant wallet.
Right. And we were watching footage, and we were watching, I think it's CNN, whoever Anderson Cooper is with. And then we were watching local news on YouTube, and we saw that they were showing, depending on which angle they were trying to make it look appear, that they were showing different footage of a different side of the mountain. Some of it had snow, some of it didn't. The actual area where the building was burning down had no roads. There was nobody visibly there. And yet they show this other footage of a shootout. It's not really a shootout. It's a couple of cops with their door open shooting and telling each other to keep shooting. And then somehow this reporter ended up in the midst of the gunfire. And why would they bring a reporter and a cameraman and put them in such a precarious and dangerous position unless they wanted it filmed?
Yeah. with no return fire.
Yeah, with no return fire. This gun shootout was no return fire. It was just them shooting at the building, and then it explodes.
What do you call a shootout where only one side is shooting?
A shooting range?
A sham?
A sham?
or a bunch of scared morons that happen to have guns and just see an opportunity. Finally, we can fire these things robotically and insanely in some kind of area. Yeah,
and they don't even know. They don't even know that they've got this guy. I mean, the whole thing started because somebody thinks that they saw something, and they don't even know that it's him. There could have been somebody else. They have no idea. So if it wasn't him, now he's 40, 50 miles away. You know, he's gone. So if they messed it up, they messed it up for good now.
Yeah, the other scary side of this is that I don't know what it is about America these days. People love to copycat. You know what I'm saying?
And yes, what is that? Like, nobody has an original thought in their brain?
Yeah. Well, you know, that kind of whole thing of stealing original thoughts is just rife throughout America, and it's beyond a joke, because every single time you see some crazy person do something, you know, guaranteed somebody else will just going to go, oh, my God, that's a good idea. Let's try and imitate that. Yeah.
Those damn NASCAR drivers. I mean,
I'm so obsessed with burning to death, you know?
Yeah, just the whole thing is ridiculous. And I was telling my husband last night, this is not real. Dorner is a character in a story, just like the Al-Qaeda operatives were characters in the 9/11 story. It doesn't matter. Look at, I'm focusing on, like, after Sandy Hook. Well, what happened because of that? We've got all these 23 executive orders, 3 presidential memorandums. DHS is even more up our butt than they have ever been, including the CDC and all these pharmaceutical industries who want to pump more drugs in to us, even though those drugs cause us to be violent. Right after 9/11, what did we get? 3 days later, we got the Patriot Act. Like, they just whipped that up out of nowhere.
Yeah. And copycats are all over the place, aren't they? And I think even the Canadians have started up their own terrorist organization called Elk Hider.
Are they killing the elk?
Yep, and they're hiding them too.
Well, that just destroys the biodiversity. That's going to make the eco-fascist have an aneurysm.
Yeah, well, you know, eugenicists aren't very happy with diversity in the first place, so that'll be right.
I wonder if maybe they're tired of eating horse meat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Oh, I just finished an article about that because I realized that they're putting this anti-inflammatory drug, this painkiller that they give horses. And it was used in 1949. It was introduced in the U.S. as for rheumatoid arthritis, a therapy. But then it was taken away. The FDA disapproved it. It was taken off the shelf. And here in the U.S., we are the biggest supplier of horse meat, of horses, to other countries that eat horse. All of our racehorses end up being sold on these auctions. They're called killer buyers. And they go and they buy the horses, and then they transport them in absolutely inhumane conditions without food or water or even a place for them to rest. And they're stuck in these little boxes like the chickens at these mega farms. And then they go to slaughter. And Nestle owns the Swiss factory that is supplying the horse meat that's circulating in all of this lasagna. And Nestle.
Who's horse meat lasagna? Because I just cooked a lasagna last night. Incidentally, I hope the mince that I had in it was actually mince.
I don't know. We'll have to talk about it on the other side.
It's one of my favorite topics, lasagna. All right, anyway.
Stay tuned, guys. You don't want to go away.
Denying the times of the lower at ease, weren't at odds with establishment, iron wore upkeep, while asking one question for answering it first, as the central intelligence eats the whole world. Tell me how you feel.
Hey, that was Blue X Baxter. He is a good friend of ours, and he is really working hard. He writes really wonderful music, and you can find his music on our website. You can click on his graphic on radio.occupycorporatism.com and support him. He is using his music to talk to people about what's really going on, and this man really, he walks the walk. He really does, and he's really trying hard. Vinny, I have a...
You have a caller.
So, I have a caller. So we'll go ahead and talk to this person in the 209 area code. Hello, caller. What's your name?
I'd probably rather not say due to the subject that I'm calling about, horse meat.
Horse meat?
you guys started talking a little bit about horse meat, and I thought maybe I could give you some valuable insight.
Have you got any good recipes?
it's really not bad meat.
it's like chicken, right?
I'll take that as a yes.
It's more like a stringy, sweeter, leaner beef. But you know, in this country, it seems that there is such an adverse reaction to, you know, the idea that someone would eat a horse. But, you know, at one time it was pretty common staple in this country for people to eat horse. And in most other countries, it's still a very common source of protein, especially when you get into Mexico and places like that where, you know, you've got people that are starved for protein. It's a country where, you know, they have the availability of grains and that sort of thing, but protein is in short supply in certain areas. I mean, you take, for example, the Mexico City, you know, you've got tens of thousands of people living in the city don't. And an affordable source of protein is pretty hard to come by. People in this country seem to think that a horse is now become a pet. And, you know, you shouldn't eat it, and it's kind of a taboo thing to eat. But, you know, it still is a valuable protein source, and it's a shame to see it wasted. The idea that these horses are treated incredibly inhumanely and that sort of thing that the media and some of these animal lovers like to portray, you know, they're surely treated less humanely than any other livestock that's shipped for meat purposes. It is a valuable commodity. Therefore, you know, during the shipping process, I mean, you don't want to damage that commodity in any way, shape, or form, if at all preventable. You know, I've shipped a lot of horses to slaughter, and, you know, and I don't feel bad about it. I mean, it's no different than shipping cattle or sheep or goats or chickens or anything of that sort. And another big misconception that I'd like to misspell is a lot of people say, you know, well, good horses go to slaughter, and that is absolutely not the case. And if you understand the supply chain of how these horses end up where they're going, a horse that has any ability to ride or perform in any way, or is a safe horse, or, I mean, there's even horses that, you know, have some lameness issues, but they're still, you know, an older, more gentle horse. You know, that horse has far more value as a riding animal than it does as meat. And these horses change hands numerous times before they get, you know, to me and get loaded on the truck. And, you know, every step of the way, somebody's looking to pull some sort of value out of there. Because, you know, even, you know, myself, you know, considered a slaughter buyer or a canner buyer, you know, even when it comes to me, I mean, we try every horse out because, you know, if we can sell that horse and go a different route rather than put it on the truck, I mean, it's not that I'm doing it to save the horse's life. I'm doing it because it makes more money. And that horse is worth more money somewhere else. So, you know, I'm just, I get kind of tired of hearing people talk about it like it's a bad thing. And it's really not. I mean, it's a livestock animal. It just so happens that, you know, America's fallen in love with those animals, and they think everyone should be.
I think
buried.
It's similar to the way we demonize other cultures for eating dogs or cats because, you know, we've grown up with the idea of these creatures as pets and what have you. You know, like they're part of the family. You wouldn't eat a part of your family, would you?
No, absolutely not. And I will tell you this. I had a Korean friend growing up, and I have tasted dog. I didn't know it was dog at the time, and if I had known, I probably wouldn't have eaten it. But I can tell you, it's pretty darn good meat. It's, you know, now the idea that you know, somebody's going to eat a dog. Hey, look, even though I know what it tastes like, I'm not going to go out and look for dog meat, and I have no interest in eating a dog. But it just seems to kind of be the American way that if you don't agree with something, you know, make sure it's a loss and nobody else can enjoy that. And, I mean, who am I to tell you what you can and can't eat, okay? If you want to eat a dog, go eat a dog. Don't eat my dog, you know, but go eat a dog. I mean, if that's what you like, if that's what you were raised on, if that's what you know as a staple, I mean, you know, what if God told you to ride a cow and eat a horse? I mean, you know, you wouldn't know any different.
There was actually an incident here in New Zealand a number of years ago where a butcher in South Auckland, I think like 10, 20 kilometres from where I am, was selling horse meat to Pacific Islanders. And the media went round there and tried to confront the guy and stuff like that and got roughed up by him, which I thought was really funny. You know, have you noticed how hilarious it is when douchebag reporters get roughed up by the people that they're trying to demonize?
Yeah.
I love that. And And there was also another incident where a Pacific Islander was having a dog meal at his family barbecue, that kind of thing. And that kind of got sent up, these big smoke screens in the media and that kind of thing. And it's just like, look, man, meat is meat, and people are killing and murdering each other all the time. And animal cruelty is all over the frickin' place, man. I mean, let's not forget, who here has been to McDonald's before? I know I have. Who here has been to Burger King or whatever, Carl's Jr., et cetera? Everybody has. And have you ever talked to the cow or any of the other things that you're eating? No, you have no idea where it comes from. And I can assure you, if you read a movie called, if you read the book called Fast Food Nation, there's like 1,000 cows per burger patty at McDonald's. Yes. All right, they're all ground together. The way that humans treat animals is really horrific, and to just come out and say, "Oh, now you're being really bad against horses," just screams hypocrisy and kind of little chicken little to me.
Right, and I've been around. You know, slaughterhouses and of all species. I mean, I don't just ship horses. I mean, we do deal in the cattle as well and sheep and goats to some extent. And, you know, we've supplied some of the ethnic slaughterhouses. And, you know, I mean, there's a pretty inhumane way in my belief, you know, in the ethnic slaughterhouses versus the traditional American slaughterhouses and the fashion in which they're killed. You know, in an American slaughterhouse, when a cow comes up the ramp, you know, onto the kill floor, they're killed with a pneumatic bolt gun, okay? And it's quick, it's painless. The animal doesn't know what happened. I mean, the most duress that the animal is under, you know, is probably the just the uncertainty of where they're at and that sort of thing. But, you know, it's a very quick process, because what you have to understand is, you know, when that cow or pig or lamb or whatever the livestock may be, when they're not in their natural environment, immediately they're under stress and they begin to start losing weight, okay? And, you know, the first weight that they lose is obviously, gut fill, which is just comprised of whatever they've eaten, but immediately they start to lose water weight. And water weight is something that you don't want to lose when you're selling meat. It affects the quality of the meat as well as, let's face it, hey, it's cheaper to sell water than it is meat, right? And you see that a lot in the processed meats. Processed meats, they prefer older, drier animals to take on a lot of water. But the idea is you want to move that animal, you know, from its natural environment and get it hung up, you know, on the hook as quickly and inefficiently as possible. Now you start talking about some of the ethnic slaughterhouses. They kill the sheep and goats and cattle as well. No pigs there, but they kill them in a fashion that they call halal, where they actually cut the animal's throat and bleed them out, and they're not stunned or put down first. You know, that's how they die, by actually bleeding out. And you know, they perform a religious ceremony and prey upon the animal at the time that it's killed. The process, you know, I don't know, it's pretty brutal to watch. I don't know how much pain the animal's actually in. But it is pretty tough thing to watch. You know,
there's a film called Earthlings, narrated by Joaquin Phoenix, where they document basically man's inhumanity to animals. And I showed that to a friend of mine, Jen, one time, and she became a vegetarian directly after watching that movie. And I was just thinking.
I'll be honest with you. I feel that's very unfortunate. Yeah, I really do, because, you know, in any documentary, obviously, it's hard to make a documentary about cruelty to animals when you show both sides of the story. Okay, and it's hard to get your point across if you're completely diplomatic and unobjective. You know, in your reporting.
Have you seen Earthlings?
I have not. But
I recommend seeing it because they do actually show both sides of it. They show how people can be really loving and caring, and they can save animals and show a lot of compassion. And then they have a look at slaughtering and some of the things that happen within slaughterhouses. I mean, sure, it's meant to be as humane as possible. And what they do cover, though, is also the fact that sometimes there's accidents, like sometimes the bolt that goes through the skull of the cow won't actually penetrate the brain properly. And then they hook the cow up while it's still alive on a thing while it's hanging upside down and it's struggling and screaming and that kind of thing. And it's really chilling. And I've never cried as much as I have watching any other documentary than that one. But I still
eat
meat.
It's unfortunate, though, that you take a one in a million event, okay, and I mean that literally. You know, most slaughterhouses will slaughter anything, you know, between 1,000 and 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 a day. Okay. And, you know, they'll go weeks and weeks and months at a time without one of those accidents. But when that one accident does happen, it's portrayed as the standard. And that's what's unfortunate. That gets captured on film. And people are led to believe that that's just an everyday procedure at that slaughterhouse. It's not. That's an accident. Okay, and accidents do happen, and it happens in every aspect of your life. But to condemn a whole industry, you know, based on an accident that happens here and there, which are isolated events, I feel that's wrong. And, you know, the idea
what's
that,
actually worse, what's worse than just the accidents that happen to the animals is actually the accidents that happen to the workers in these types of facilities. You know, I've known a bunch of meat workers who have, you know, sliced fingers and things like that, and they get no compensation.
It's a dangerous environment, you know, and that's a whole other topic, you know, the types of workers that are working there and that sort of thing. And, you know, I mean, that's can be considered an atrocity as well, but hey, you know, America's in love with cheap food, okay? And you know, sometimes certain things happen so that we can have cheap food. And you know, I'm not saying that it's right, but you know,
well, can I also explain something? Is that the difference between America and, say, the rest of the world is that the food portions that you guys have are far, far larger than anything you get in any other country. Like, in New Zealand, we've kind of arguably the best food in the world in this country, and the serving sizes are rather small. And when I went to the States as a 14-year-old, I noted that maybe the serving sizes were between 2 and 3 times the size of what I would expect here as fine meal. But yeah,
guys, caller, we're going to head up on a break. thank you very much for calling. That was an amazing call. Thank you for sharing that.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, we need both sides of it because we don't want to give out one side over the other. We don't want to demonize. We do eat meat. There is a humane way of doing it. If you can call murder humane, it is killing an animal, but we do it. And thank you very much.
It really is ironic. I mean, it's killing something, you know, and you're
exactly. Well, you're killing
humanely.
A plant in order to eat it. Everything that we eat, everything we consume has to die in order for us to consume it. But thank you so
it's
much for providing
life.
That. It is. Thank you, Elton John. Thank you, caller. You can call in anytime you want. Thank you so much. We're going up on a break, guys, and don't go away.
Fight the last freedom of imagination, or drowning pop culture of the biggest nation, with armies of idiots brandishing brand names of one corporation or conflagration, the most holy train wreck of all human history. Tell me how you feel.
Hello, everybody. We are back, and this is the home stretch, and I have Vinny with me. Vinny, I wanted to get your take on this. I wrote this article, put it out on Monday. Massive media fumble, DHS, 21.6 million rounds, purchase a lie. Apparently, in the alternative media, they quoted a solicitation by DHS, which was actually going to the DHS Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, which is where all of our police officers through FEMA, through a grant program, send all of our cops to be trained in tactical military operations with DHS. And so they purchased 240,000 rounds of hollow point bullets. Now, that's incredible, but it's not 21.6 million. And so when I look through this solicitation, and a gentleman named James Smith over at Prepper Podcast brought this to me because he is the one who is following all of these DHS purchases of all of these bullets here in the United States. And he was like, wow, you know, rudimentary math skills of some of these people in alternative media is incredible. It's sensational. And my husband and I tried to figure out how they got to 21.6 million. Even we started doing numerology. We started trying to figure out how do you go from 240,000 to 21.6 million? We couldn't reach the number. And
I don't know. There's probably some Masonic code, number numerology, kind of Kabbalah in there or something. I don't know.
Well, the funniest part about it was in the solicitation, it read MX. And I know that public schools are indoctrination stations, but, you know, when you go to math, and you don't even have to go into like trigonometry or calculus, you know, you learn Roman numerals, and MX stands for thousand, not million. That would be MM. So you've got this story out, and it hit the alternative media hard. You know, Drudge Report had it up there, and everybody, all these smaller alternative media outlets were reposting this article and then writing articles based on it. And I was surprised that nobody actually went to the solicitation that was being cited in the original article to do the math themselves. And that's kind of indicative of what we see, at least for me as a journalist, what I see in alternative media. If I see a story, I start clicking through the source links. Sometimes I don't even see why they even cited that article, because it didn't have anything to say with what they were saying in their article. But this, I mean, I'm not a math whiz. I'll tell you, pre-algebra was about as far as I can go. I'm just not mathematically inclined. However, I can add 100,000 plus 100,000 plus 40,000. I think my six-year-old can do that too. Maybe my two-year-old can do that.
Well, look at it this way. The education system in the United States hasn't been that great for a very, very, very long time. And so it's unsurprising to me that a bunch of people in the continental US don't know how to do rudimentary math. I mean, how many people in the United States don't even know who the current president is? You know?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
There's this swath of stupidity over the country. It's unbelievable. And the intelligent people who are only just slightly smarter than the morons and stuff like that start, you know, attacking the morons and saying, you're idiots, you're idiots, you're idiots. And it's just like they don't realize that they themselves are also idiots, just of a slightly more evolved level of idiocy where they've gone beyond rudimentary moronity and just kind of going up the scale. But I don't know. I think the measure of intelligence is realizing how much of an idiot you are. And I don't think a lot of people are in this world, let alone the United States, are intelligent enough to realize how stupid they are at all.
I agree with you. I agree with you. That's why I homeschool my kid. I went to the elementary schools where he would have potentially gone, you know, to school to learn. And I spoke with some of the teachers. And actually, one day that I went, it was the day that we signed the Constitution, not the Declaration of Independence. And the teacher said, when I mentioned that to her, she said, oh, yeah, I read about that on MSNBC. And I said, okay, so what are you doing in celebration of that? She said, oh, we're going to be doing these mock nets because Bill and Melinda Gates are over in Africa helping everyone stave off malaria. And so we're going to make these mosquito nets. And we have to teach our children to be global citizens. So we're making these mock mosquito nets. I said, do you even pledge allegiance to the flag anymore? She says, oh, no, we can't do that. You know, We try not to. We try to teach the children that they're global citizens and that that we're all in this together and that all of the resources are all of ours together. And so we must all conserve. And I was, and I took two steps back and I looked at my kid and I'm like, run, run.
They've got like this kind of glazed look in their eyes, like, I'm a moron who believes everything that I get told by somebody that in an authority figure position. Are you wearing a black uniform? Yes. Well, I'll believe you then.
Right. Do you have a noose, I mean a tie, around your neck? You must be important.
Yeah. Do you have a shirt with a collar?
Right. You know?
Or a suit with cuffs?
Well, I just put out, like, a couple of days ago, I put out another article about the global drought. Oh, my God, we have a global drought. The reason why that our water is disappearing is because they've privatized it. They're siphoning all the water out of your lakes and your streams and your rivers, and they're bottling it up, and they're storing it, and they're going to sell it back to you with all this garbage inside it. And that's why we're running out of water.
Well, see, I watched the documentary. Who are the guys? The guys who made What in the World Are They Spraying? Chris Maple and Paul Wittenberger have done doing this film series called The Great Culling, and the first one was about water, about fluoride. And they bought every single brand of water you can possibly think off the supermarket shelf, and they had this little electrode thingy that tests the amount of fluoride. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. From Evian to Deer Park water or whatever the hell. They all had fluoride in it. They're not even giving you pure water when they sell it back to you. They're just giving you municipal water. They're just giving you municipal water stuff that's been through a few filters that doesn't even take most of the crap out anyway.
No, and some of them have pharmaceuticals in it. And the other thing here in the United States, it's not regulated by anybody. Not that the FDA does a good job, but it's still...
Yeah, they regulate themselves. They're a self-regulating industry, kind of like, I don't know. How many other self-regulating industries are there? Like the military-industrial complex, for example? That seems pretty self-regulating.
Exactly.
It's like, did we contaminate the vast majority of Iraq with depleted uranium and stuff like that? And are a quarter of their babies now being born deformed because of the toxins that we've dumped into the frickin' desert during a war that we lied about and went in and went out? Yes, we did. Okay.
Oops, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, no, they don't even say sorry. They don't even admit it or anything like that. They're just like, okay, well, how can we do damage control here? I know. We'll make sure all our returning veterans that are contaminated with the stuff and all these illnesses that are coming around and saying, don't get freaking veterans benefits.
Oh, no, they're crazy. They have post-traumatic stress disorder. They need to be shot up with nasal spray that makes goes through the blood-brain barrier and have their blood taken so they can have biomarkers checked and make sure that we can prove that they're crazy and put them on more pharmaceuticals, which cause you to get violent. And then when they go out and do something, God forbid, oh, God, we need more gun control.
Yeah, we need to demonize veterans. We need to make sure that all their guns are taken too, because they're the ones who actually know how to shoot them. And in the case of a tyrannical government taking over, they'd be the one they actually get all the neighborhoods organized with people with militias and stuff like that, and train other people how to shoot so they can kill those blue helmet wearing UN troops that are going to be so lovingly on our streets all of a sudden.
Right. And never mind the fact that they're not just giving our police departments paramilitarized gear, but they're actually training them at training centers so that if they don't have the military backing, they've got a whole 461,000 sworn officers here in the United States alone. And that quote is from 2008. Those will be the infantry. That's the ground troops. You don't have to, in my opinion, I don't have to worry so much about a split in the military. I got to worry about my local police department, who's been trained in tactical operations, who will take me down if they get that call.
Well, and there's also the other element of Obama's civilian military force or whatever. Have you heard about this?
Yeah. Yes, I've written about it extensively. In fact, I'm going to write about it again because he was just talking about it yesterday.
Yeah. Wasn't he also saying yesterday about climate change or something like that? If Congress will not take action to prevent destructive climate change by blowing up the sun, then I will.
Oh, yeah. No, the General Office of Accountability came out and said, oh, climate change is decimating our country and we need to do something about this. For the love of
God, you know.
I find it ironic that the federal government has an Office of Accountability. I don't believe it exists.
It's ironic.
I'd have to see the evidence of its existence. You know, what do they do?
Well, it's like, you know, trusting your untrustable boyfriend in the dark to put on a condom, you know. I want to see what you're doing.
See, that's
should I have said that?
I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't. I'll add a sound effect to it.
Oh, thank you. Well, awesome. This has been awesome. I love having you on the show. And I think you need to come back on my show again. And I think I'm going to do your show next week, right?
Yes, indeedy. I think let me see. We got you on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday, 5 till 7 Central. Suzanne Posel from the Region 10 Report on the Vinnie Eastwood Show for a full 2 hours. Been quite a lot of cackles on the show today, I think. I think that's a good idea.
That is a good idea. We need to laugh at these guys because they're crazy. Yeah. And
it's much better than going crazy and going...
You can find Vinny's website on my website. Just click on the graphic that says The Real Guerrilla Media. And guys, join us again next week for the Region 10 Report. Thank you, Vinny, for coming on and laughing with me. And I can't wait to laugh with you next week.
I'm very welcome.
Take care, guys.